Good morning, David Harris from the Clarion Project. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I also feel like I'm 12 sometimes.
You also feel like what?
Like I'm 12. You said it's going to feel like it's 12. I'm saying I feel like I'm 12 sometimes as well.
All right. Well, can we talk about some serious stuff, David, please? Firstly, has anybody claimed responsibility for these Sri Lankan attacks?
That is a very good question. If you follow the regular media, you would say the answer is no.
Yes.
However, there is an image doing the rounds of somebody claiming to be behind the attacks and says that the reason that they were carried out is quite simply it is forbidden for Muslims to be a minority in a country. You're not allowed to live in a non-Muslim majority country, and that was the reason for the attacks. Now, I cannot say that I know for sure that this is actually from one of those behind the attack, but it is doing the rounds amongst the intelligence circuit at the moment. Just to add to that, the country has a minority of about, 10% Muslims. It's predominantly Buddhist. That followed by Hindu. It's 70% Buddhist, about 20% Hindu or so, and then the rest are Muslims and as we know, tragically Christians. And so there, at the moment, we don't know who has done it, but it does bear all the hallmarks of your Islamist attacks. But we have to be very careful before we say absolutely that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, one looks at the civil war, right? So that was the Tamil Tigers. And the Tamil mm-hmm. Tigers, I mean, that war it lasted 26 years, ended 10 years ago. And that was, the Tamil Tigers were comprised of Christians, Muslims, and Buddhists.
That wasn't a war about religion.
Yeah.
That was a secessionist war for people from the northern part, I think the northeastern part of the country, who wanted to create an independent state.
Right.
So it was fought on a very different level to the type of thing that I'm talking about right now.
Absolutely. So I'm hearing the name Zahran Hashim, bandied about. Who is he? Mm-hmm. Do we know of him, David? Apparently he's the alleged mastermind of the Sri Lanka attacks.
Who knows? That's the point. Who knows? I don't want to go into details. Like I said, there are discussions in intelligence circles at the moment about who potentially could be behind this. There was talk yesterday about an organization called the NTJ, which I'm not going to try to pronounce in South Asian dialect, of being behind this. The indications are that there is some sort of Islamist background to this, but I think we have to be very careful before we believe one claim or another, which is why I'm trying to sort of skirt around this.
Okay. I think that Sri Lanka's actually responded very, very well. The first thing that they did was they blocked social media so that they stopped false information from making its way into the public domain.
Absolutely the case. And it was very interesting to note, as an extension of that, you're absolutely right, that Al Jazeera, the Qatari, massive news organization, withdrew its story, on potentially what was behind this attack within a very short space of time. And a lot of the information, was cut off and was restricted. And I think the idea of stopping social media at this time, stopping gossip, is incredibly important. And a lot of other countries would do well to learn by that. On the other hand, the Sri Lankans have seemingly failed miserably on the basis of some intelligence. Supposedly, two of the ministers, the telecommunications minister and somebody who deals with, sort of relations between people within the country, both warned over the last week or two of a potential for terror attacks, including suicide bombings. And there is now going to be seemingly a serious investigation into why intelligence and police, who knew about this potential threat, seemingly didn't do enough to counter it. So it's all well and good acting after the attack. The question is, what was done before the attack?
Yeah. David, for anyone who's just joined us, could you just sum up what happened in Sri Lanka. A lot of people coming out of, you know, Pesach, not checking the news wires. Of course, we are covering it in our news. But can you just give us a little bit more detail on what happened in Sri Lanka?
Sure. Sure. Easter Sunday for Christians around the world is an incredibly important day, particularly for Catholics and those in the more traditional church. Churches were packed in a couple of cities, including the capital, Colombo. At least nine bombings, potentially nine bombings in these two cities, targeting churches and the major hotels where foreigners were. We're talking at least 290 people killed, more than 400 wounded. I imagine the death toll will continue to rise over the next couple of days. Still unclear how many of the attacks were suicide bombings. Certainly two of them were. Just absolute devastation in the streets. And I think it's fair to say that in a country that has known so much fighting that you alluded to, a civil war of 25, 26 years, that there was shock that this had happened again after a period of relative calm. I'm not going to say things have been entirely quiet in Sri Lanka, but certainly compared to how things were until about 10 years ago. And this has just opened old wounds and is incredibly tragic for that country. And let's face it, a country like Sri Lanka isn't exactly the wealthiest country in the world. And to have to deal with this on top of all of the other economic issues and health issues and so on, it is just a nightmare situation for the people there.
Right. So we'll actually, I'm sure that by next week, this time when you speak to Howard, there will be more information that has come through. And let's just hope that it doesn't lead to any retaliatory attacks.
Absolutely the case. And by the way, I was hoping that this week we were going to talk about events in Sudan and Algeria.
Well, we can do that.
Unfortunately, we can do that as well. What I want to say is that the way that the terror world works, things move so quickly. There are events happening the whole time throughout the world that plans are put aside by, forget me talking to you, but by people who are dealing with this on a real basis, police forces, national intelligence, governments. They have to change plans hour to hour. And there are so many concrete threats around the world that we simply don't know about.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, sort of doff our caps to those who are dealing with these on a daily basis. And it is, it's easy for us to criticize the Sri Lankans for not having dealt with this, but it's not really fair to find a needle in a haystack at the same time.
That is true. And, you know, I mean, one of the reasons that you and I decided to do this report on a Monday was because most terrorist attacks take place on the weekend. I mean, statistically, and that's why we do it. And it's about keeping current. You know, David Harris, thank you very, very much. It's lovely speaking to you again. And I'll catch your report with Howard next Monday.
Take care.